Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Friday edition, the Heckler Across America, or at least Across Wisconsin edition. The, look at this, I already got swag. Now I just have to learn how to play the game edition. The fights. Football fights, dumb, healthy, necessary, where does Tausch come down on that edition? And the Jordan Love, not a lot to love from that very valuable 7-on-7 work that he gets in practices as he waits to get his stitches out and waits to return to full action. Of Wilde and Tausch, on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde, and I am in Green Bay, but I am at the Pickler in Green Bay, and we are, this place is amazing. When I learn how to actually play the game, it's going to be even more amazing for me. From the Menominee Falls Pickler. Wait a minute. Riley Yauch is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Hi, Riley.
Good morning.
And from the Menominee Falls, the brand spanking new Menominee Falls Pickler, it is Mr. Pickler himself. It is the Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
This is my first look at the new Pickler Menominee Falls. We obviously have the grand opening tomorrow. But I'm here today, and there's people in here playing already, the pro shop. It's, you remember when we did the Pickler up in Green Bay?
I have a great setup. We need to fix your audio because you sound like the voice of God. More than a little. I feel like it's we can't talk about Bill Cosby anymore, but he does that joke about God speaking to Noah. That's how you sound. You sound like God speaking to me from the Pickler in Menominee Falls. So if we can reduce the echo, that would be much better. I'll say this. I am high above the courts. I'm going to risk it here and take this. There it is, all the action. Full courts already this morning here at the Pickler. We are excited to be a part of it. And Tausch, again, is at the brand spanking new location in Menominee Falls. I am in Green Bay, where there was some interesting developments during yesterday's joint practice with the Seattle Seahawks. If you like fights, yesterday's practice was for you, because as it played out, And it was nice of them to have all their fights right by where we stand, or where I stand doing the show. Down at the north end of Ray Nitschke Field, we had the entire 7-on-7 when Jordan Love completed 3 passes out of 12. And then we had both of the fights during the 11-on-11 that Zach Tom was the primary aggressor in. So it was convenient for me. So thanks to Matt LaFleur and Zach Tom and Messiah Swinson and everyone else who was involved in the planning and in the fights, because it was where all the action was, and that was fun to be part of. I am curious to see what Saturday's game looks like, because tempers were definitely hot because of some of the extracurriculars. In fact, it was so bad that there were still arguments occurring after practice was over. The practice had ended, they'd all huddled up and said, 1, 2, 3, dominate, or whatever it is they said in the huddles. And then there was jawing back and forth involving Keyshawn Nixon and Nate Hobbs and multiple Seahawks players. Leonard Williams was one of them. It was a scene, man. And to see how that played out tells me that there is no love lost between some of those players. But again, I didn't think the fights derailed the practice in any way. I think it was just some guys blowing off some steam and getting after each other a little bit. We'll talk more about that as we continue. Riley, do we have Tausch's audio fixed? And am I nearly as echoey as he is? How are we doing over there?
We are currently working on it. The Comrex is not hooked up at all, and the echoey was coming from the vMix call because it was running through a laptop. So We are currently working as fast as humanly possible at actually connecting said Comrex, and hopefully Tausch will be ready to go momentarily. However, I can see on his video call that they are still troubleshooting at the moment.
All right. So Riley, luckily for us, on a day that we're talking about fighting,
yes,
we have a jiu-jitsu expert. Did you see some of the video of the alleged? Now, first of all, Zach Tom said he was hitting with an open hand. Now, I have not broken down the film
that one of
the fans posted, but it sure looked to me, if his hand was open, it wasn't open a lot. It was not a slap. That's for sure.
No, there was some animosity behind his punch.
So as you watched the fan-produced films of these fights, as a pugilist yourself, what was your breakdown? Would you have gone more because look, the second fight, which was right in front of me, the second fight was guys on the ground. And I swear to you, I'm not making this up. My thought was, hey, this looks like Riley when he had that guy in the submission hold or whatever it was.
Okay, I didn't see any of the video where people were on the ground. I saw the one where Zach Tom was just wailing on guys, mm-hmm. and they kind of met, and then people were trying to break it up, and the benches cleared and all that. But that's the thing. Jiu-jitsu is not a great martial art for giant scrums like that, because you take out one, you're on the ground choking out one, and then another guy, D lineman, comes up and starts kicking you in the face. It doesn't work well. So, unfortunately, that's probably the biggest drawback of jiu-jitsu when it comes to a street fight.
So, I want you in a dark alley with me, right? Because you're going to kick some tukus. And my question is, are you telling me that if we're outnumbered, your skill set is not going to help me as much as, say, like a hardcore, UFC fighter who's going to do a roundhouse kick or Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse? Like, yeah. Do I need somebody Roadhouse. Who's going to be?
Yeah. If we're outnumbered, my skill set will still help for sure. I can take one, maybe two. But if we're outnumbered 5-2, We're in a bit of trouble, Jason. That would not be ideal.
Well, I still want you in my dark alley, and I appreciate you being that guy for me. Look, let's be honest. What I'm talking about here with you, in all seriousness, is what the good thing about these fights is that you find out that guys have your back, right? Mm-hmm. And showing that. I mean, look, and I said this to Jordan Love in my helicopter beat writer, helicopter parent way.
Mm.
You kind of got a little close to the scrums for a guy with a cast or a brace on his surgically repaired left thumb. Like he was getting over there where if it flared up again, he was going to be in the middle of it. So again, I think that's one of the things that, and in talking with Xavier McKinney afterward and talking with Zach Tom afterward, I had to make sure Messiah Swinson knew, hey, I have talked to you before. I want you to remember that because I don't want you to think the first time I ever come and talk to you is, hey, you got into a fight today. Tell me more about it.
Yeah.
But seriously, they all talked about that in terms of, hey, this is what this is about. Like, yes, the fights are, they derail practice temporarily. Yes, you don't want to be involved in that. But the fact of the matter is you find out that you fight for your brothers, and that's a really, really good thing.
Yeah, and it seemed like, at least from the one video I watched, the entire team was in on the fight. So I like that mentality. And Jason, I heard some people say, or maybe it was just Kay Adams, that this was the biggest fight she had ever seen. Is this the biggest fight that you have ever seen at a Packers practice before? How does this rank in the scale of fights at joint practices that you have seen?
Great question. So it ranks pretty high. I saw that from Kay. Again, I don't know how many fights she's been present for. Like, I don't know how many joint practices she goes to. I can say in 2019, when on the second day of 2 days of joint practices with the Texans, a safety for the Texans cheap shot at Jay Sternberger, and it was on like Donkey Kong. Like, there was some big time haymakers being thrown. That was a pretty big fight. The fact that this one went a second round, like two plays after the first one, mm-hmm. I think puts that above the Texans fight. On the flip side of it, I remember, and we were all talking about this afterward, there was a Packers on Packers fight in which Josh Sitton had his helmet off and had it as a weapon on his own teammates. So I think City probably takes the cake because that was a big melee too. But don't forget, when the Packers had joint practice with the Bengals 2 years ago in 2023 in Cincinnati, Elgton Jenkins got kicked out of that one for fighting. And so getting kicked out for fighting is not unusual. In fact, my favorite exchange from the entire day was talking with Keyshawn Nixon, who said, I'm not surprised that we had a fight. What I'm surprised by is that we didn't have any fights when we were in Indianapolis with the Colts. That was much more surprising to him than what we saw yesterday. Joining us again now from...
Let's go! Let's go!
Apparently we need to bring Sarah along for our IT work at the Pickler in Menominee Falls as well. By the way, the team here at the Green Bay location, Tony and everybody that's been helping me out, phenomenal. Yeah. I'm glad to have you as Mr. Pickler. How we doing?
I'm doing good now. Is it so? If we, you know, first off, pickleball courts, there's going to be a little bit of an echo, and that's part of the deal, right?
Like, uh-huh.
You hear it, mm-hmm. Tink and tink. And, did you get a lesson this morning?
No, I did not. I did get a sweatshirt, which is the first step toward getting a lesson.
That is true. You can't play if you don't have a Pickler sweatshirt on. So I heard, I was listening. I know I wasn't able to talk while you were talking there. I told you this yesterday. Coaches would rather have what we saw yesterday than a mundane blah-zah practice. So all of this now, did it go overboard? Did I see Kay Adams tweet out that it was the raunchiest or the rowdiest fight that she's ever seen? I have a hard time buying that. But things are going to get a little chippy. And you want your guys. The coaches will say all the right things publicly.
Mm-hmm.
The most I've ever seen someone get yelled at, and what I would see is if somebody got drilled or a quarterback got hit,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't go and defend your player, coaches get so much more you-know-what about that than this. This is baked into the cake. We know, you know, you do a joint scrimmage, you're going to have a fight. Now, do you want haymakers and guys thrown out of practice? No, you don't. But I would so much rather see guys defending their teammates than on the other side of it where it is just a blah. And it sounds like that's what happened yesterday.
Well, and as Riley and I were talking and you were listening in, to me, that's the upside of this, right? And look, this has become the headline from yesterday's practice, and I don't have a problem with that. I wrote about it too. I totally get it. But it didn't derail the practice. It didn't end the practice early. Like, there have been times, including that Texans fight that I mentioned on day two in 2019 with the Texans, giving further credence, by the way, to Aaron Rodgers thinking that it was a waste of time that year, that they ended the practice early because tempers had flared to such a degree that they didn't think they could get it back under control. And so none of that happened yesterday. They finished the practice. They all did their two-minute drills. Evan Williams had a pick on Sam Darnold. The Packers offense had one touchdown to Luke Musgrave and another stop that they received. So they got all their work in. Now, as I mentioned to Riley Tausch, I'm not sure I've ever seen the disagreement then carry over into the post-practice parting of the ways as you go your separate ways to your locker rooms, that you've got Nate Hobbs and Keyshawn Nixon trash-talking with Seahawks players.
Nate Hobbs wasn't practicing, right? He's still recovering?
No.
Oh, I like that.
And apparently one of the Seahawks players said, "I don't know who you are. You're not even practicing."
Burn.
And watch that same film you did,
that Raiders-Cardinals game.
Yeah, exactly. So
listen, Matt, tempers flare, that is true. Because once practice is done, things, cooler heads prevail. As a matter of fact, I saw, I think it was the Eagles with whoever they were practicing, the Browns. O-linemen are drinking beers out on the field. That's what should – you should be breaking bread and having a, you know – once you're done, you're done. Tempers flare, this just lets you know, it's getting to be that time, right? End of camp. I think everybody's tempers are a little bit on edge and a little flary. And I don't think for everybody else, and I think you included, you're not a fight guy. You would so much rather see this because guys care and they're fighting for their jobs and they're fighting. Mm-hmm. I want passion. I don't need guys busting their hands, punching helmets like idiots. Like, I never understood why guys would throw punches. Like, I have a helmet on. Yeah, go ahead. You want to break your face? You want to break your hair? I'm going to break my face. And unless you're Mike Tyson, I don't think you're bending my face mask with your punch. You're going to end up busting your hand. I would bet right now Zach Tom is now looked at in a much higher light than he was before because he was standing up for his guys. Now, I'm sure they had Zach, you can't do that, and that's not going to be anything that we want to get involved in, blah, blah, blah. But on the side, they're like, yeah, we need enforcers. We need guys like that.
And you know, the conversation I had with Zach Tom afterward was, I know it's different when you're dealing with us, right? But you seem like such a calm, even-keeled guy. Not as even-keeled, of course, as Romeo Doubs presented himself to be early on in his career. But, you know, you had to get really pissed for that to happen. And he's like, you're right. That's absolutely true. And it takes a lot to get me angry. But Ernest Jones came into our huddle to go after one of my guys. What am I supposed to do? I'm going to go after him. I'm not going to let that happen.
Absolutely. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Very incredible Zach Tom Hulk-ish, indeed. All right, we're going to hear from Matt LaFleur and his conversation with Kay Adams, who was here. Well, not here at the Pickler, here at practice yesterday. But
Has LaFleur been over to the Pickler yet? No, we gave him that great family membership. And has him and Kraft gotten their matchup? I know Kraft and Musgrave have battled at the Pickler Green Bay. Has LaFleur stopped over yet?
I will text him and ask him if he found time before the start of training camp. I know I stood and talked with Mrs. LaFleur for quite a while at practice yesterday. I know his golf game is still inconsistent. I would hope he's a better pickleball player than he is a golfer.
You don't want your coaches being good at golf. You don't want,
because that means they're spending too much time.
Matter of fact, when I golfed with Blazek out in the Las Vegas deal for the Badgers, I actually told him, I said, you know what's good? I'll be able to tell Fickell that you've been spending plenty of time breaking down film because your golf game still sucks.
I do need to touch base with you on your Sheep's Head game, because I encountered someone last night at the high school game I was at, who played Sheep's Head with you once upon a time.
Okay.
So he asked me to discuss that with you.
Were you laying on a picnic table watching your girls watch
the
game?
No, my girls weren't there. It was Middleton against number one and defending state champion Bayport. I was helping out a buddy of mine who needed some coverage from it. And so I was there for that. And then the Middleton
You
coach,
covered a high school game last night?
I did.
Wow.
Nice. Good work. I'll tell you what, I don't love giving Jesse a lot of love, but Max had his first game, the Verona Semperi. Everybody was in Verona. So we stayed, we watched a little bit, and then I listened to the second half on the way home. And outside of him, he tries so hard with these analogies. He said something about construction on I-94, and there were a bunch of penalties, and he started doing the beep, beep, beep. And I said, you know what? You got a heck of a game going on here, Jesse. It was Verona. Sunpre ended up winning on a late touchdown. But I've said this before. I'll say it again. I think some of the best stuff that we do is at Prep Mania and the video that Hunter and the whole team. And Riley, I know you do a bunch of the play-by-play too, although I think Jesse's trying to take back a bunch of your play-by-play from last year.
He's threatened.
It's some of the best stuff. High school football is awesome. That's my little memorandum today.
That was, by the way, Sun Prairie East, right? Since there's two Sun Prairies nowadays.
That is correct, yes.
Well, the only thing better than our coverage of preps on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison is Tausch talking about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It is, and you know what else is really fun before I tell you about Pella is when somebody rails against polling and how dumb the college football polls are, and then that same person – must have said the number ninth ranked Verona Wildcats 600 times last night. And now he's raving about your Bayport team. And
who's number two, not number one.
Behind Muskego. After he just said how goofy the polling is. But there's no, when you're talking about number one windows and doors, it is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For long-lasting comfort and reliability, trust Pella. Each piece specifically constructed for your home and designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance, and built to create long-term energy savings. And there is no reason to wait, because if you order by August 31st, you get zero interest for up to 60 months. That is 5 years of no interest payments, so don't miss out. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Tausch is at the Pickler in Menominee Falls. I am at the Pickler, where there are some high-level games going on right now. I am telling you that the rallies are impressive.
You're going to jump in?
Not between now and noon, because I've got other responsibilities. But maybe after that, I know the guys here are curious where my game is at. I think I'm better than I get credit for, but we'll have to wait and see. More Wildy and Tausch. From not one, but two picklers, the double pickler on Wildy and Tausch. Live from the Pickler in Green Bay and the Pickler in Menominee Falls. So you said the grand opening's tomorrow?
That is correct.
Kind
of a where the
soft opening back there?
There was a soft opening last week. And you know what? Normally you would think, you know, like I said, the last time we did the grand opening up in Green Bay over the winter, There was still a lot of stuff. Like, there were some things that needed to get taken care of. Bing, 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 bing. This is, we're locked and loaded. Like, there's, courts are full. We're people spinning their rackets. There's some high quality play out here at the Pickler Menominee Falls right now already. And then tomorrow, I'll be here, I think, from 10 to 1. I'll play a little bit. You know, I'm battling my knees, not been great. So I'm going to be more limited than I was last time. But we're going to play, got food. I think there's a DJ. It's, you know, you got the whole thing. Balloons and animal crackers, the whole bit. We got everything going on here at the Pickler.
Animal crackers. Wow, grab me a bag.
Yeah, I think it's, in a bucket. One of those buckets that you...
Well, we look forward to that. Yesterday on the show, as I mentioned, the 7-on-7 period, the incredibly valuable, I was completely wrong about it, 7-on-7 period, was right down where I was and was going on while the show was going on. I was able to give you the play-by-play. Jordan Love, 3-for-12.
Not great.
When our buddy Chewy heard that, when I talked to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, he was adamant that you should never go 3-for-12 in a 7-on-7 if you're the quarterback. Is he right or wrong about that?
You shouldn't. No, I agree. I mean, it's not passing on air by any stretch, but it's designed for the offense. So 7-on-7 should be, I mean, in a team setting versus blitz, you're looking for 60-70%. When you don't have a rush and you're, you know, you should be in that 80-90%. So, yeah, I'm not going to get all crazy. I'm not going to make any rash statements. But obviously they're going to hope that it's better than 3-for-12. I mean, that's, I think, common sense. But, again, you can poo-poo it all you want. Getting some work is better than not getting some work. Even if you're not having that success, having him out there and doing some stuff is beneficial to him and to the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, I know you're joking around and having some laughs and having a great time up at the Pickler Green Bay, but there is some value to what
I said I was wrong. I know, but I can't tell if you're being fighting it.
No, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
No, you said I was wrong. There's value in it. Now,
all right.
I think there's as much value as some people wanted us to believe there was? No, I don't. But I think him staying in rhythm and being around his team and doing something more than just standing on the sideline. Again, as I mentioned to Riley while we were working on our technical difficulties, like Jordan Love, you know, when you are a competitor, and you know this having competed at the highest level, you don't turn that off. And at one point after the 7-on-7 was done, he lingered when they were going to start 11-on-11.
Yeah, he wanted some more action.
It was almost like he was like, no, we got to keep going until we get this fixed. And when the fights broke out, he was over there like a little closer to the action than he probably should have been if it had flared back up. But that's how he is, and that's a good thing that he is that way. I am curious, though. The thing that I have now been watching with Jordan limited to 7-on-7 is Malik Willis. And I think there is an inconsistency there that you would expect from a backup quarterback, right? If he was consistently star-spangled awesome, he wouldn't be a backup, right? He'd be a starter.
That said,
I think he has had a really good camp, and he has made some throws that make you think it was more the environment that he was in Tennessee than it was him. And I'm not saying that he is going to be an NFL starter next year. I don't know that. But I would say that you can see the advancements he has made by leaps and bounds over a year ago when he arrived, and 19 days later, he was starting a game in a new offense for a new team that he had not even been with for 3 weeks. My question for you is, you remember the Matt Hasselbeck days. You remember the Matt Flynn days. All the best backups apparently were named Matts. Matt Castle, Matt LaFleur, Matt Damon. How important is it to have that belief in the backup, even though you're not even thinking about the backup until disaster actually strikes?
It's incredibly important, and I think you don't know until you know, and you don't need it till you need it. That's the case here, and I said this all, you know, once that Jordan Love news broke, I kind of said, yeah, it sucks, and well, hopefully he'll be back and all that stuff, but just think of how much better position you're in as an organization than you were last year at this time. Mm-hmm. You have somebody you know can win games and you feel confident can win you games. It takes a lot of the pressure off. Now, Jordan is going to push to get out there and to get back and play, and that's what he should do. But the organization can look at this and say, we can win with Malik Willis as a quarterback. And I think the question is, does Green Bay look at what the Bears did with Tyson Bagent? And they proactively went and said, now, I think if I'm Malik, I think you're still thinking you should be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it'd be a bad idea to go throw a sprinkler at him, 3 years, $20 million, and say, you're going to be our backup through the Jordan Love era and see what happens. Because we saw the value of what he brought to the table last year. He's doing it already in this preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts, I mean, I was raving about all these Matthew Golden highlights yesterday. Well, who was throwing the ball?
Correct.
A lot of times that was Malik Willis. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if it's – I think he got pigeonholed a little bit as a, well, he's a runner. Oh, he can't make reads. He can't do this. Like, I think that the Tennessee era was not positive for him. Well, his confidence is up. His play is up. And I think everybody in that locker room feels like, yeah, we want Jordan back, but if not – we're going to win some games with Malik Willis.
So I actually had this exact conversation with Malik Willis a couple weeks ago. Because remember, he's 26 years.
Was that on Channel 3000?
I'm sorry you missed it. No paywall, like the State Journal, so very easy to get to. You don't even have to subscribe. Okay. But the question I would ask you is, if you're Malik Willis, you know, he's 26. He's kind of rehabilitated his image. And what I would argue that this is what you talk about all the time about situations, right? If you go to a good situation, you get a right opportunity, you can thrive. If you go to a not so great situation, it does affect your trajectory through no fault of your own. That is a dysfunctional franchise. They've gone through him. They've gone through Will Levis. Now they've got Cam Ward. Like that has not been what it once was. And they canned the guy who drafted him, Goody's buddy. So he did not have consistency there. And I'm not saying that he is a great quarterback, because that would be an overstatement. But if you're him and you're a competitor, aren't you saying to yourself, yeah, I want to go somewhere where I'm going to have a legit shot to be the starter? Mm-hmm. And my point to him was, do you owe that to yourself? And while he did say, I'm focused on now, he said, yes, he did acknowledge that. And I think that's, you know, I would love for them to make that offer and see what he does, because I think that might be the best course of action for him, because that's what it's how much situations matter. All right. We're going to continue from both of the Pickler locations. Again, the Menominee Falls brand spanking new location, the Green Bay location, in talking to the team here, it's hopping. I don't know the pickleball terms, popping, but they've had a lot of success.
So
it's very popular.
Ain't no dinking around there, I can tell you that.
No, there's they've got the blue courts, almost as nice as Blue Mountains of Coors Lights.
Pretty good, Jason. That's a lot better than Jesse's last night. And whether you're tailgating pregame, finishing up a beautiful pickleball game at one of the great picklers, celebrating a big win, you know what? Crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light, brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered. And it's cold packaged, so it is made to chill. And make sure, just like the courts at the pickler, those beautiful blue courts, make sure your can or bottle is blue. That's when you know Coors Light is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Wildy and Tausch rolls on from not one but two Pickler locations. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch. Oh, I swear to you, I'll be there for you. live from the Pickler in Green Bay and in Menominee Falls. It is Wilde and Tausch. Riley, sources close to the program tell me there's an interesting text on the Carbless Talk and text line. List is more.
That there is, from Adam in the Berg. Call me crazy, but I think Malik Willis is the next starting QB for the Green Bay Packers. I think you pay Malik money to keep him around for 2 or 3 years and see what happens with Jordan Love. I don't think Love is the long-term solution for the Packers.
All right, he's crazy. I'll call him crazy. Like, that's crazy,
why?
Isn't it? What do you mean, why? Are you asking me why that's crazy? You don't think that's crazy?
I think it's highly, highly, highly unlikely.
No. It's either crazy or it's not crazy.
Well, then it's not crazy.
I'm saying it's crazy. You don't think it's crazy. So I don't think I need to even answer. I'm more interested in why you think it's not crazy.
So a couple things. I mean, first of all, we all agree that Jordan Love's floor is that he's a good quarterback. Right? No one would deny that. I feel like I've
better than Malik Willis's here. Floor, by the way. Okay, continue.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Right.
Can
we also agree that Jordan Love's ceiling is a lot higher than Malik Willis's ceiling?
I can agree with that, too.
All right, I can't wait to hear why you don't think this is crazy, then. Because we just illustrated floor and ceiling.
Before this gets hijacked and misconstrued and soundgraphed, I would like to once again emphasize, when I say this, it is about what were we talking about earlier in the week where we said it was a 5% chance trading for Micah Parsons?
Yeah.
I would argue that this is even less likely than a Micah Parsons acquisition to the Packers. Okay.
Okay.
Jordan Love, you don't have a crystal ball. And while Jordan Love, I believe, is a good quarterback who could turn out to be very good, but I don't believe will win an NFL MVP good. He has dealt with some minor injuries that were not derailing him, and he came back from his knee injury early last year. He deserves a ton of credit for that. He has played through some injuries. Now he's had the thumb surgery. I don't agree with Kyle Wallace of KBN claiming that this is an injury-prone quarterback.
Yep.
But if the Packers were to sign Malik Willis to the 3-year, $20 million that you just suggested, let's just use that as our number, okay?
Sure. Okay.
If they sign him to that, Jordan Love is the quarterback this year. Jordan Love is the quarterback next year. There's no doubt about that. If he has more injury issues, or if he struggles, or he has a seat. Look, there have been guys. Remember when Kyler Murray was all the rage?
Yeah, I never liked like everybody.
I know you didn't. I didn't either. But there was a time he had that miraculous Hail Mary to D-hop in a game, and he was playing at a very, very high level for a period of time. I don't think it was as long as Jordan did in the back end of 2023. But guys do have times where they, whether it's an injury or inconsistent play, they do drop off. And I'm not saying he's going to do that. But if you were to do what you're suggesting, and this is where I would agree with Adam, if you were to do what you are suggesting, 3 years, $20 million, and he's the backup this year and he's the backup next year, it is an interesting insurance policy if you decide, hey, this isn't working, and you draft another quarterback high in 2027 or whatever it might be. Now you have the Malik Willis. He could be the starter for a year and be your bridge guy to whoever you draft high the next time. Again, do I think that this is in any way likely? No, but I don't think it's as dismissive and deserving of being dismissed as just saying, this is plumb crazy. There's no way it could happen. It may be 4% chance, but my first instinct was to say Adam was crazy. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what? He's a little nuts, but he's not completely crazy.
No, I think you should think longer about it then, if you think this, because they committed to Jordan Love. Jordan Love is the quarterback. You know, he's got a thumb. Malik Willis is coming in, but there's no doubt Jordan Love's going to open the season against Detroit. And unless there is some type of major injury, Jordan Love will be the quarterback the next two seasons. Doesn't really even matter. Let's say he really struggles. That contract and where he's at, he will be the quarterback next year. And if they don't, and this is why I think he's crazy, because, I have been on the Malik Willis. He is a heck of a backup. He's done a great job. Kudos to Goody for bringing him in when they had to go find somebody. And then kudos to Matt LaFleur for designing a plan that you could win with Malik Willis only 19 days in your building. Kudos, kudos, kudos. But he's not going to be a starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. If Jordan Love falters, they're going to draft somebody else. Period. It isn't
going
to be Malik Willis.
Yeah, that's what I – but – okay, I appreciate you listening to my suggestion there. Well, no, because I'm not saying he's your long-term quarterback. What I'm saying is that if you decide to go with someone else and you have had such success with sitting guys and not playing rookies right away, if you invest in another quarterback after you somehow decide that, again, Jordan Love is not the guy, which I don't believe is going to happen, then you have a guy to be your bridge guy for a year. So the next guy doesn't have to play right away, just like Jordan Love didn't, just like Aaron Rodgers didn't. So I don't love being dismissed that way, because I'm not saying that Malik Willis should be the starting quarterback or anything close to that. But I do think that, look, the way his – I'm looking right now at Spotrac. The way his contract is structured, they can – if they were to choose to do this – they can get out after 2026.
Yep.
Which
yep.
You just said he's the starter this year, he's the starter next year. I agree. And Malik Willis isn't beating him out to become the starter. No one, including Adam and the Berg, is suggesting that. But he does have more to prove, and I think he will prove it. But I don't want to be utterly dismissive of him.
Yeah, and you don't have to be. I will be. Because the reality is the economics of football matter a lot. Decisions are made, and then unless there's a catastrophic injury or something of that ilk. The Jordan Love component, if you want to have a conversation about Jordan Love and where he's at in his development, and that is a very fair spot. This is a big season for him.
That wasn't the text, though.
No, I understand. That's why I think it's crazy, because the only thing is, even if Jordan Love's play dips, what we saw last year is better than anything we've seen with Malik Willis, and even with the inconsistency. So you're not going to get rid of someone for someone that is not as good or that doesn't have the floor or the ceiling. And we both agreed Jordan Love's floor is much higher than Malik Willis's, and his ceiling is much, much higher than what Malik Willis
agree.
Can be.
I agree with you. They are not. To Adam's text, if that's what he was arguing, I do not believe that the Green Bay Packers would get rid of Jordan Love in order to make Malik Willis their full-time, long-term, we're going with Malik as our guy starter. If they were to decide that Jordan Love is not the guy long-term because he has an inconsistent 25 and takes some sort of step back or deals with a catastrophic injury in 26, heaven forbid, I don't want that to happen. I would say that he would be the gap guy for when they draft another quarterback so they could let him sit. I do not believe that, but you're the one who's signing him to a 3-year, $20 million deal.
I was just going to say, that is all contingent on him signing that deal. And
right.
Him wanting
I agree
to
with you.
Agree to being a backup, which, again, I think if he could get two or three starts this year and play like he did last year or even better – you don't think somebody will give a flyer on him like they did with Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith and some of these other quarterbacks that have had some prior locations that it didn't work for them through whatever reason? I think the best case scenario for the Packers is Jordan Love plays really good football. Malik Willis doesn't get a chance to play, and Malik Willis finds that the best option for his career moving forward is being Jordan Love's backup. That would be for us as Packer fans, not for Malik. Malik, it would be awesome if he got to play two or three games and then end up going, getting a fat new deal with somebody else, and could be that he is always going to be viewed as a bridge guy. He is not going to be viewed as a franchise guy until he gets that opportunity, and that's the cold, hard truth about being an NFL player. You end up getting your opportunity. If it doesn't work, you have to go above and beyond to prove that it does, and even then, they're still going to look for the young, cheaper version that can be the guy for a longer period of time than you. And that's unfortunately how this works. There have been guys that have fought out of it. Geno deserves a ton of credit, but Geno is still viewed as probably a mid-tier at best NFL quarterback. And I'm guessing that the Raiders and, you know, the Seahawks can look at Darnold in that same way. They are always got their eyes open to see who's next, even with the good play that they've gotten from those guys.
Yeah, I'm assuming Geno would give you the double bird for saying that about him, but you're probably right. All right. I'm curious, on your way to Menominee Falls, did you make sure you stopped by a Quick Trip and got yourself a coffee without a cover lid on it?
Put a little gas in. It's always Quick Trip, and this fall, life doesn't slow down, and neither does Quick Trip. And while you're whether you're grabbing that coffee, an iced coffee, a fresh baked good, quick meal on the fly, Quick Trip's got you covered. And you need to top off your tank? Yep, I did. Fully guaranteed fuel has your back. And perks, so free ATMs, air for your tires, friendly faces, and sparkling, clean bathrooms. Beautiful thing. And if you're not a Quick Rewards member yet, what the heck are you doing? Sign up today. Start earning discounts on fuel, future purchases. Even you can enter exclusive sweepstakes. Swing by. Make life a little less hectic, and you do that only at Quick Trip. And if you're craving convenience, order ahead in the Quick Rewards app. We did that the other night. Got one of those pothole pizzas. Phenomenal. Don't miss this week's Quick Hot Savings. Nature's Touch Milk, $2.99 a gallon. Nature's Touch American Cheese Singles, $1.99 for a 12-ounce package. Get them on them burgers. Nature's Touch Cream Cheese, only 99 cents. And that Applewood smoked bacon, 2 for $5. Life is busy. Quick Trip gets it. Fill up, fuel up, and grab everything you need at Quick Trip. See you next time.
More Wildy and Tausch live from not one, but two Pickler locations. We
double
continue
pickle.
Next. Stick around.
I hope someday we'll sit down together.
In the Pickler in Menominee Falls. I'm at the Pickler in Green Bay, conveniently located near Lambeau Field on Holmgren Way. So swing on by, get signed up. They've got some great specials to get you your membership. So swing on by while we're doing the show. Come and say hi. Always love it when people stop by when we're on remote. I will continue to ask Tausch about different aspects of the Packers training camp. But I want to get to more of this Micah Parsons. I don't want to call it nonsense, just like I didn't call Adams' text nonsense. But Kay Adams was here yesterday and inquired to Jordan Love a Micah Parsons question. I want to get to that to kick off the 10 o'clock hour, which we will do coming up after I tell you about Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 414 276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website gruber-law.com to find out more about David and the great team over there, all the great lawyers that they have on their team, and, of course, everything David and his group do in our communities. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.